I have no never again, I have no always. In the sand, victory abandoned its footprints. I am a poor man willing to love his fellow man. I don't know who you are, I love you. I don't give away thorns, I don't sell them. Maybe someone will know that I didn't weave crowns to draw blood, that I fought against mockery, that I did fill the high tide of my soul with truth. I repaid vileness with doves. I have no never again because I was different. Was, am, will be. And in the name of my ever-changing love, I proclaim purity. If you liked that as much as I did, it's Sonnet 128. Thank you for listening to Poet on Song, the podcast that proposes to love a poet with you and accompany them with great music. My name is Mariama Antoine, and today it is the decidedly committed passion of a Chilean would-be French teacher turned diplomat, turned statesman, turned presidential candidate, a Nobel Prize winner, 1971, and the self-appointed voice of the perished Incas that we'll explore. If loving is our way of belonging, then Latin America gave the 20th century one of its most amorous voices in the person of Neftali Ricardo Reyes Basso Alto, famously known as Pablo Neruda. Neruda's poetry touches the depth of things. One feels the interdimensionality of experience, the way that fragrance or taste can harbor time. But with him, it seems to go further than that, down, down, into the fabric of what is being played out in the landscape of the lived moment. Neruda's song marvels at appearance, investigates texture, inhabits cells, and sings with particles that universe, song that unites us all, love. The depth in his verse seems to stem from an interplay of form and formlessness. In Neruda's world, the flower calls on the dark bed of earth from which it sprouted, the cities from the galactical spaces which endowed them with their minerals and metals, touch on the history of passion. Here's what I mean. This is from Sonnet 24. For all the love sonnets that I'll read, I'm using the Stephen Tapscott translations. There is nothing here but light. Quantities, clusters, spaces opened by the graces of the wind till it gave up the final secret of the foam. Among so many blues, heavenly blues, sunken blues, our eyes are a little confused, but they can hardly divine the powers of the air. The keys to the secrets in the sea. Love from seed to seed, from planet to planet. The wind with its net through the darkening nations. War with its bloody shoes, or even the day, a thorny night. Wherever we went, islands and bridges and flags. There were violins in the fleeting of autumn. Bullet-laced happiness echoing in the rim of the wine glass. Sorrow detained us with its lessons of tears. Through all those republics, the wind whipped its arrogant pavilions, its glacial hair. It would return the flowers later to their work. but no withering autumn ever touched us. In our stable place, a love sprouted, grew as rightfully empowered as the dew. Success came early to Neruda. By his 20s, he was considered one of the great poets of his generation, had published his 20 love poems and a song of despair. Among the accolades came the opportunity to become a civil servant through the Latin American tradition that distinguished celebrated poets with diplomatic posts abroad. But Neruda, a child of the lower middle class, his father was a railway driver, had to constantly deal with the issue of money or its lack of. He spent those early years in Burma and in Indonesia in the same isolation and loneliness which enveloped him as a college student in Santiago, somewhat lost between the refined walls of the diplomatic world and the poverty-stricken abodes he was forced to find lodging in. Prevented by his life's circumstances from reaching outward, he delves inward, and what emerges from that poetry is a profound understanding of the matrix of relationships shaping the world around him. The work is sublime and tender, and one feels deeply that sense of being lost, not only to oneself, but within the immensity of the cosmos, yet cognizant all the while of some greater call. I'll show you what I mean in a bit. I'll read you two sonatas from these early poems from a collection entitled Residence on Earth. This one is called Ars Poetica, and the translation is Stephen Kessler's. Between shadow and space, between harnesses and virgin endowed with a singular heart and fatal dreams, impetuously pale, withered in the forehead, and in mourning like an angry widower every day of my life. Oh, for every drink of invisible water I swallow drowsily, and with every sound I take in, trembling, I feel the same missing thirst and the same cold fever, an ear being born, an indirect anguish as if thieves were arriving, a ghost, and inside a long, deep, hollow shell, like a humiliated waiter, like a bell gone a bit hoarse, like an old rumor, like the smell of an empty house where the guests come back at night hopelessly drunk. There is an odor of clothes thrown to the floor and an absence of flowers, and maybe somehow a little less melancholic. But the truth is, suddenly, the wind lashing my chest, the infinitely dense night dropped into my bedroom the noise of a day burning with sacrifice, the man, what there is in me of the prophetic, with melancholy. There's a banging of objects that call without being answered, a restless motion and a muddled name. The next poem is part of a sonata entitled There Is No Forgetting. The translation is Kieran Cosgrove's. If you ask me where I come from, I have to converse with broken things, with utensils that are too bitter, with great beasts that are often rotten, with my anguished heart. It's not memories that have been exchanged, nor is it the yellow dove that sleeps in oblivion, but faces with tears, fingers, and a throat. Whatever it is that falls heavily from leaves, the darkness of a day that has been, of a day that has lived off our sad blood. Here you have violets, swallows, everything we like that appears on the sweetly worded postcards of the curlicues, where time and sweetness amble. But let us not penetrate beyond those teeth. Let us not bite the husk that silent accumulates, because I do not know what to answer. There are so many corpses and so many piers that the red sun splits open, so many heads that strike against boats, so many hands that have closed and kisses, and so many things I want to forget. Neruda was posted in Madrid in 1934, 2 years before Spain was to surrender to Franco's nationalists. His arrival there shifted the isolated mood of his life to one of warmth, joviality, and camaraderie. He was leaning outwards towards the Spanish intelligentsia that had ushered him in. Spain radicalized Neruda, garnered his passion, his gift, politicized it, and directed it towards social justice. He was a communist, barred from entering the United States, recalled to Chile for his dissenting views. In Spain, he became an activist, and his new friends included recognized poets such as Rafael Alberti, Miguel Hernandez, Manuel Altolaguerre, and of course the great Gabriel Garcia Lorca, whom he had met years before in Buenos Aires. Their friendship was immediate. In fact, it was Lorca who had introduced Neruda at literary events. And in this well-supplied and dynamic environment, surrounded by poets who live life at its core, Neruda moved out of his introspective granularity. When the nationalists took over Spain, he was at the center of its resistance. Spain and Lorca forever left their mark upon his heart. And the collection Spain in My Heart bears witness to that engagement. An engagement that could not sit idly by while the world crumbled around him. An engagement that would transform the very pulse of his meter and infuse his diction with the rough edges of poetry written on the front line. Thank you. This is called I Explain Some Things. In a psalm, this is for you. You will ask, and where are the lilacs? And the metaphysics laced with poppies, and the rain that often beat his words, filling them with holes and birds. I'll tell you everything that's happened with me. I lived in a neighborhood of Madrid with church bells, with clocks, with trees. My house was called the House of Flowers, because everywhere, geraniums were exploding. It was a beautiful house with dogs and little kids. Frederico, do you remember? From under the earth, do you remember my house? With balconies on which the light of June drowned flowers in your mouth. Hermano, Hermano. And one morning, everything was burning. And ever since then, fire, gunpowder. Ever since then, blood. Bandits with airplanes and with Moors. Bandits with finger rings and duchesses. Bandits with black friars making blessings kept coming from the sky to kill children. And through the street, the blood of the children ran simply like children's blood. You will ask why his poetry doesn't speak to us of dreams, of the leaves, of the great volcanoes of his native land. Come and see the blood in the streets. Come and see the blood in the streets. Come and see the blood in the streets.
Buscando disonar.
Perhaps a life of passion requires tumultuous times. I don't know. It may be that its disturbances heighten perception and push those who would into a deeper expression of self. These are such times, I feel, and this, more than ever, the moment of dedicated action, the time of impersonal devotion to the principle of good, of heartfelt service and compassionate deeds at every turn. And Neruda's shining life is useful, for it speaks to the edifying clarity of those willing to put themselves on the line, those invested in extraordinary reach. I've been thinking more and more about that, what it means to take a stand, to live a life that honors the integrity of the just, a life that will no longer abide systems that prey on others, a life that can relinquish short-term profit, personal privilege, for the immense gifts that are social harmony and collective thriving. I think that at some intrinsic level, the Spanish poets who offered Neruda his political frame understood that. Lorca understood that. Lorca, who was marched to a town square and shot under an olive tree. Lorca, of whom the Francoist said had done more harm with his pen than an entire battalion of soldiers, understood that. And it forever allied Neruda to the righteous cause of the oppressed. I imagine the two friends locked in intimacy, they who left us their passion as legacy, as prophylactic to the lukewarm tenor of our modern days. What would their response be to the repeating cycle of violence slouching towards Bethlehem as we speak? Of his great friend's death, Neruda had much to say. But I'll read what wrapped itself around me in lieu of a response. It's from a poem entitled Ode to Lorca. The translator is Caleb Bassert. Because for you, they paint the hospitals blue, and the schools and the seaside barrios swell, and are populated with the feathers of injured angels, and are covered with the scales of bridal fish, and the sea urchins are taking to the sky for you. The tailor's shops with their black membranes filled with blood and spoons, and they swallow torn ribbons, and they murder with kisses, and they dressed in white. When you fly away dressed as a peach, when you laugh the laugh of hurricane-thrown rice, when you sing, you make teeth and arteries tremble, throats and fingers. And I would die for the dulcet thing that you are. I would die for the red lakes where you live in the middle of autumn. To espouse a cause and to unabashedly pursue it, to love it totally, completely, whether it be man, woman, country, nation, planet, that is the very spirit of Neruda and at the core of the lessons he teaches. And that passion, that emotional rush of dedication, is perhaps most felt in his magnificent epic, the Canto General. The work is grandiose, both in ambition and in scope, for it scripts the history of Latin America and establishes the continent's staff sheet of resistance across 300 poems. Again, we are pulled into the moment that is more than itself, that is infused with the heart and trauma of the subjugated he places at the heart of his narrative. Here is some of it from the heights of Machu Picchu. Rise up and be born with me, my brother. Give me your hand from the deep zone of your disseminated sorrow. You will not return to the bottom of the rocks. You will not return from subterranean time. Your stiff voice will not return. Your drilled eyes will not return. Behold me from the depths of the earth, laborer, weaver, silent herdsman, tamer of the tutelary guanacos, bearer of the Indian tear, jeweler which your fingers crush, tiller trembling in the seed, potter split in your clay. Bring to the cup of this new life, my brothers, all your timeless buried sorrows. Show me your blood and your furrow. Tell me, I was punished here because the jewel did not shine or the earth did not surrender the gemstone or kernel on time. Show me the stone on which you fell and the wood on which you were crucified. Strike the old flintstone, the old lamps, the whips sticking throughout the centuries to your wounds, to the war clubs glistening red. I've come to speak through your dead mouths.
Aprendimos a quererte desde la histórica altura donde el sol de tu bravura le puso cerco a la muerte. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Y fuerte desde la historia dispara cuando todo Santa Clara se despierta para verte. Revolución. funcionario te conduce a nueva empresa donde esperan la firmeza de tu brazo libertario. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Seguiremos adelante como junto a ti seguimos y con Fidel te decimos hasta siempre, comandante. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.
If Neruda's song speaks so arduously of resistance and bolsters so lovingly the plight of the conquered, it is also capable of immense sensuality. And it would be hard to dismiss the longing attention he paid to the women he loved. Neruda, who required, and I think it must be said, absolute submission from the women in his life, left us with the swooning romanticism of his verse. It's palpitatingly beautiful. It's a beloved who's like a month of stars, like a fixed kiss, like the beginning of autumn. I've selected two poems from the 100 love sonnets he wrote to his third wife, Mathilde Urrutia. The period wherein these poems were composed marked a happy time in Neruda's life. He had purchased La Casa del Ilsa Negra, a home resembling a ship by the sea, in his beloved Chile. That's where he and Mathilde are buried. The poetry that emerges from that period reflects that mood and veers towards wonder and awe. But as always with Neruda, and one thing is everything, there is no established hierarchy in the object of his love, whether it be his wife, his country, the continent, an aunt, or his socks, for he wrote such ode. His song remains carnal, deep, sensual, and all-encompassing. Here are the two sonnets I promised. Enjoy. This is Sonnet 25. Before I loved you, love, nothing was my own. I wavered through the streets among objects. Nothing mattered or had a name. The world was made of air which waited. I knew rooms full of ashes, tunnels where the moon lived, rough warehouses that growled, get lost, questions that insisted in the sand. Everything was empty, dead, mute, fallen, abandoned, and decayed, inconceivably alien. It all belonged to someone else, to no one, till your beauty and your poverty filled the autumn plentifully with gifts. This is Sonnet 17. It's my favorite. I do not love you as if you were salt rose or topaz, or the arrow of carnations the fire shoots off. I love you as certain dark things are to be loved, in secret, between the shadow and the soul. I love you as the plant that never blooms, but carries in itself the lights of hidden flowers. Thanks to your love of certain solid fragrance, risen from the earth, lives darkly in my body. I love you without knowing how, or when, or where. I love you straightforwardly, without complexities or pride. And so I love you because I know no other way than this, where I does not exist, nor you. So close that your hand on my chest is my hand. So close that your eyes close as I fall asleep. I think of Neruda and the passion with which he engaged life even through the corrupted currents of his time. I think of the bold choices that brought him into the public light, raised him to great political heights, led him into exile, and may even have brought about his assassination. For the last hour of his life is shrouded in ambiguity. And I feel inspired by the quality for which he engaged his beating heart. He lived for love, and in so many ways was willing to protect, to sacrifice for the dulcet, the gentle, that which is deeper than form and common to us all, the human soul. This is where we end. This has been Poet on Song, and my name is Mariama Antoine. Poet on Song is available on most podcast platforms and on poetonsong.com. You can support this podcast by following us on Instagram, that is instagram.com/poetonsong. If you like what you heard, I hope that you will share the podcast and come again. I'm heading to India next, towards the wisdom of the Bengali master Rabindranath Tagore. See you then. The music that you've heard on this podcast is as follows: Adelita by Francisco Torrega, interpretation by Milos Karadaglic. Variation on an original theme by Edward Elgar, interpretation by Cheku Kaneth Mason, Asha Kulga, Caroline Darney, Hannah Roberts, Josephine Knight, and Ben Davis. The Bedroom by John Powell. Impression Intimas by Federico Mompou, interpretation by Olena Kushpler. 24 Studies, Opus 34, Exercises. Study number 22 in E minor by Fernando Sor and Timo Kohornen. Entre Dos Aguas by Pablo de Lucha. Maria Elena by Los Indios Rebajas. Merton, Opus 25 by Robert Schumann, interpretation by Kian Soltani and Aaron Pilson. Por Eso Mi Quedo by Lassa del Sala. Suite del Recuerdo, Evocación by José Luis Merlin, interpretation by Jason Vio. Por Ti Mi Corazón, version for guitar by Manuel Ponce, interpretation by Jason Vio. Hasta Siempre by Soledad Bravo. 8 Etudes, 24 Studies, Opus 34, Exercises, number 22 in E minor by Norbert Kraft.